Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Sota Daf Lamed Aleph. We are holding on the third line from the top. Back to the Mishnah, describing events that took place on that day, the day that Rav Elazar ben Azariah was appointed as Nasi. Dorash Rabbi Yeshua ben Hyrcanus. He tells us, Shalai Avad Yoiv Es Hamokim Es HaKadosh Baruch Hu Elam Ahava. You should know that Yoiv was totally committed and loyal to Hashem. His service to Hashem was motivated by love. The Pasuk says, right? Hein Yiktaleini Loi Ayachal. So perhaps it would make sense to refer back to the actual Mishnah, which is on Chaf Zayin Amud Beis. It's around 10 lines from the bottom. There you have the two dots by Beyayim. He says, Iyayv served out of love. Shenemar, he brings a pasuk in Iyayv, of course. Hein yiktaleini. Even if he puts me through hardship, even if he puts me to death, loy ayachel, I still am loyal to him. So it's spelled with lamed aleph. I am not, chas v'shalom, loyal to him. But we read it as loy, we understand it as loy. No, I still turn towards him, to Hashem. So the Mishnah there says, well, we're not sure how to read it, how to understand it. Is it the way it's read, or the way it's spelled? V'adayin hadav v'shokol, it's still an even balance. Loy ani mitzapeh, is it with a vav? I still turn to him, I'm still loyal to him. Oy eni mitzapeh, or is it in the negative? If he does this to me, if he gives me hardship, Hashem, loy ayachal, no longer will I turn towards him. We need that extra pasuk. The next pasuk, Tamar, loy mar ad egva loy osir as to masi mimeni, until my very death. Whatever I go through, I'm still loyal and dedicated to Hashem. This teaches us, melamed shemeyava also, that whatever he did was out of love and affection to Hashem. Okay, so back on Lamed Aleph over here, five lines from the top, right at the two dots. But Lechsi, what's the question? Hadavar Shakal, it's in balance, we're not sure how to read the Pasuk. Is it in the positive or in the negative? We'll take a look at the spelling. But Lechsi, Hai Loi, this word, Loi, how is it spelled? Ibe Lamed Aleph. Is it Lamed Aleph, which would indicate no? Ibe Lamed Aleph Ksiv? Loyu. That means it's Loi, not. If it's spelled with a vav, then it's in the positive, loyhu. So what's the question? It says the Gemara, do you mean to say, whenever a word is spelled lamed aleph, loyhu, does it have to mean negative? Elamiata. What about the next pasuk? B'chol tzarosam loy tzara. Whenever the Jewish nation is in pain, is in tzara, loy tzara. Right? It's spelled as Lamed Aleph. Does that mean to say that Chas v'Shalom Hashem doesn't care? Lo Yitzar, Hashem doesn't care about our distress? Hachinami deloyu? V'chitem hachinami. Do you really think that Hashem doesn't care? Raksiv, the pasuk. In fact, that very pasuk, the next word, reads like this. Haksiv, Haksiv, Malach panav Yishiyam. Hashem, you know, sends his Malach to save us. He's very concerned about our well-being. So even though it's with a lamed aleph, that's the spelling, but sometimes the reading is what defines the definition. Chal tzorosam loy tzor, yes. Our distress is distressing to Hashem as well, chas v'shakav yachal. Elo mashmahachi mashmahachi. So apparently, spelling doesn't always play a role, doesn't always define the definition. And here as well, by Iyav. Hey, Nikteleni, Loy Ayachel. Although it's spelled Lamed Aleph, we're not sure. I no longer turn to Hashem, or I continue turning to Hashem. So that's why we needed the other pasuk, which proved to us that yes, Iyav was committed with his loyalty to Hashem through thick and thin. Because he was motivated by love, by Ahava. And Ava overcomes all difficulties. Ahava mikalkeles es ashura. Tanya Rav Meir Imer. Nemar Yirei Elokim b'Iyoiv. We have the term Yirei Elokim by Iyoiv. V'Nemar, where also we have Yirei Elokim b'Havrom, after the Akedah. So, he got a message from Shemaim. Yeah. Now we know you're really Yirei Elokim. Look, we're going to overcome your Midas HaChesed, your feelings of love and affection to your child, and be makir him as a carbon to Hashem. What self-discipline, what sacrifice. Now we know what you are. So since we have the same phrase mentioned in both contexts, by Iyoiv and by Avram, we say like this, Ma Yirei Elokim Ma'amu b'Avram Me'ava, just as Avram, who's described as a Yirei Elokim, is really a Yira which is stemming from love, fear out of love. Maral and Chidush Agadis explains, when you truly love something or somebody, you want to connect to it, you're drawn to it, and you're constantly in that, you have that fear and concern of not wanting to disconnect and lose that relationship. So Avram Avinu was primarily motivated by Ava, Chesed L'Avram, generosity, pleasure, Ava, love to Hashem. But the Yira that he had was a Yira stemming from that Ava. I don't want to disconnect. So although it has Yirei Elokim mentioned by Avram, but really it's based and rooted in Ahava. Yirei Elokim ha'amar b'Iyoiv. Likewise, the term Yirei Elokim mentioned by Iyoiv mi'ava, it's rooted and generated from Ava. V'Avram gufa minolan. How do we know? In fact, that Avram Avinu epitomized love to Hashem. D'chsiv zera, Klal Yisrael, the children of Avram oyhavi, my oyhev, my lover. Now, it's pretty clear from the Gemara that Ava stands higher than Yira. My Ikav and Oysa Ba'ava L'Oysa Yira. Yira, how do we define the difference between the two types of service to Hashem? Any major difference? Yes, Ikav, there is a difference in terms of the long-term effect and protection for one's descendants and generations. Ikav, the Sanya, as we learned in the Brisa, Rav Shimon Elazar Eimer, Godol Ha'Oysa Mi'Ava Yoyser. One who serves out of love to Hashem is greater. He stands higher than one who fears out of yira. Even a yira, which is a pretty lofty yira, as Rashi explains, a feeling of awe from being in Hashem's presence. So that's a lofty yira. It's not just a basic fear of punishment or Gehenna. I'm speaking about a yira which is generated by appreciating Hashem and His presence. But Ava is that positive sensation that takes you higher than Yira. In what way? Shezet toli lelav dur. Ava lasts longer. It has a longer effect. It protects one's descendants up to 1,000. Sorry, Yira protects up to 1,000 generations. Vizeh, but Ava stands higher and is longer lasting. V'zeh toli l'alpayim dor benefits your children and grandchildren up until 2,000 generations. How do we know? Hachaksiv, because by Ava it says, V'oisa chesed l'alofim lo'yavai. U'l'shem r'mitzvayse, Hashem does chesed up until 2,000 dorois of the oyhev Hashem. V'asom ksiv, but by the one who fears Hashem, we have u'l'shem r'mitzvayse of le'elav dor, one who safeguards Hashem's mitzvahs out of fear. So that lasts 1,000 generations. What do you mean? Hasam namik siv lo yavav u'l'shem r'mitzvayse of le'elav dor. In the pasuk of 1,000, it also mentions oyhev Hashem lo yavav, and then u'l'shem r'mitzvayse of le'elav dor. So apparently 1,000 is the number for an oyhev Hashem as well. No, hayla d'samachle, vayla d'samachle. In each pasuk we look at what's right near the number. So, true, in the second pasuk we do have a mention of oyev, but which words are positioned near the number 1,000? L'shem r'mitzvayisev le'elav dor. Le'elav is removed. It's before the word l'shem r'mitzvayisev. So le'elav dor is going on the shem r'mitzvayisev on the ones who do out of yira, as opposed to the first pasuk. We have Alofim Lo Yahavai. So we have the Oyev, the one who loves Hashem, mentioned next to the number 2,000. Hanu Trei Talmidi. There were two students, Davu Yasvi, Kamei the Rava, sitting in front of their Rebbe Rava. So they came in the morning and they told him, look, Rebbe, we had a dream last night. Chad Amar Lei Akruyan B'chelmai. One of them told, Rava, look, in my dream they read to me the following pasuk in Tehillim. We were saying Tehillim. Morav Tufcha. Ashat Zafanta Li Re'echa. Look, the greatness, the schar, the reward Hashem put away for those who fear Him. V'chad Amar Lei. And the other Talmud says, well, actually, add something similar to that. Akruim mechalmoi. In my dream, they read to me the other pasuk in Tehillim. V'yismachu b'cha, kochay sevach, le'olam yiraneinu, v'yaltzu b'cha, oy v'shmecha. Those who love Hashem will always be singing, dancing, and happiness. What is the meaning what are the meanings of these dreams? And then first I'm explaining, the one who was referenced as a Yorei Hashem was concerned perhaps it was just something very basic, being alluded to, like Yiras Ha'Einish, fear of sin, of punishment. So they asked Rava to decipher. Amar Luhi tells them, look, no worries. Both of you are great men. Tarvaichu, Rabbanon, both of you, Chachamim, Tzadiki, Gmuri, Atun, you're really complete, full, high-level Tzadikim. Mar Ma'ava, Mar Ma'ira. Each one of you have different missions in life. You're rooted in love, you're rooted in Yira, but not to worry, you're both pretty much up there. Of course, we learned there's a slight discrepancy in levels, but we're speaking really lofty in either case. Okay, Hadron Aloch Kem Shem Shamayim, so we proved that Iyav loved Hashem, Avram Avinu was called Avram Ehavi, and we had a story of the two Talmidim. Continues the Mishnah. Now going back to Halachos of Kinev Istira, and Tesis actually comments on the fact that apparently this parak really belongs in the beginning of the Masechta. In any case, the Mishnah says like this. Misha kine li'ishto. A husband sees his wife conducting herself inappropriately. He warns her. Don't get involved with that person. V'nistro, she defies his warning. She goes into seclusion with that man. How does the husband know that she was nistor? Afilu shama ma'if ha'pareach. Even if he heard it from a bird flying by, who tweeted it to him. And Rashi says, it's just, the Mefarshim learned Rashi, that it's just like a mashal. It means to say that he got his information relayed to him by even an eved, a shifcha, not necessarily the most trustworthy aid kasher. But according to Rabbi Lezer, you don't need aidim for stira, even if he got his information for an alternate source. That makes her usher on him. And if he decides to withhold the water and not to, you know, proceed further, yoytzi v'tein ksuba, he must divorce because she's usher on him. But he has to pay her the ksuba. Divrei Rabbi Elazar. Misho Eimer, he says, no, you can't have the isser of stira generated by your ifa pereach. According to Rabbi Shua, you need two edim. But, says Rabbi Shua, I'll give you a case where this halach would apply that she's usher and he must divorce and give her the ksuba. Until the Moisrois Belavana, those women who sit under the moonlight, crocheting and knitting. This is already a topic up for discussion amongst the gossipers. And Rashi says that preempts, that disrupts, compromises the whole process. You can no longer give it to drink, as we learned back in the Vav. And therefore, says Rabbi Shua, even though you don't have proof of seclusion of stira, the process stops there. She's usher, and you must divorce and pay the ksuba. Continues the Mishnah. Suppose after kine and stira, an eid echad shows up and incriminates the isha. Amar eid echad, ani rosiya shenitmeis. I have witnessed that she sinned during that seclusion, during that experience. Loi hoisa shoisa, no more drinking. We learned this back on that base because it says ve'ed ein ba. There aren't a pair of eidim, but apparently, if there is just one aid, even one aid, that makes her usher and she doesn't drink. Not only a kosher aid, not only a qualified witness, el afilu evet, afilu shifcha, even a slave or maid servant, hare'elu ne'amonin, they're trusted, they're believed. In this case, af leposlam ksubasa, even to make her lose her ksuba payment. Basically, what they're saying is, she's tummy, there's no point in giving her to drink, she leaves the marriage, no ksuba. But we have some a list of women who aren't necessarily on the best of terms with this issue. Now, these are natural disaffinity, let's call it, a feeling of perceived competition, etc., some sort of feeling of threatening feelings going between them. So the Chachamim don't give credence necessarily to their information. So somewhat we believe them, but not all the way. Chamoisa, her mother-in-law, who comes to testify that she sinned. Ubas Chamoisa, daughter of her mother-in-law, basically her sister-in-law. Betzarasa, a fellow wife. Vivimta, the wife of her husband's brother. What's the concern there? That that woman thinks perhaps there'll be a Yibum situation, and this lady will turn into her Tzara, to her fellow wife. So she already dislikes her years in advance. Ubas Bala, or this Saita's husband's daughter, a stepdaughter. There's some animosity there. Harelu Nemonai. So now when they come and testify that she was Nitzmeis, they're believed, but up to a point. There's no drinking anymore. But Veloy Lepoislam Ksubasa, but they can't take away the Ksub, because perhaps they're motivated by animosity. So they do generate some sort of serious question in terms of what happened. Therefore, we cannot proceed with the drinking of the waters, but we can't force her to forfeit the ksuba. Elosh Letishta, all they accomplish is no drinking. Now this is a chiddush, that an eid echod is neman by tumah. And it must be a gzeiras hakasa, because in logic, it wouldn't really work. Shoyu badin, because really we could have presented a kal v'chomer to negate that idea, to disallow an eid echod by tumah. Umayim eidus rishon. Look, even the previous eidus, the eidus which testifies about her stira, she'enos harati iser olam, that eidus doesn't permanently impose an iser on her. It's only temporarily until she drinks. Still, despite the fact that it's not so serious and far-reaching, Eidem Eskemas, Bachas Mishnaim. It can be done with less than two Eidem. This is, of course, Rabbi Shua's Shita. Even for Stira, you need two Eidem. Certainly, Eidus Achroina. Doesn't that lend to reason that the final Eidus, the Eidus of Tumah, Shoyosata Yisra Eidem, which affects a permanent Isra on the Isha, Eidem Adin, like the sky in Bachas Mishnaim, doesn't lend to reason that you need at least two Eidem? So why would you allow even one Eid to be made on the Tumah? Why do we believe him? We have a pasuk, Tamar Leimar, Ve'edein Ba. There's nobody to testify. Kol Eidus Sheyesh Ba. Any sort of Eidus that there is Neman, even an Eidechad, even an Eved, even a Shifcha. So now, let's work backwards. Kal V'chomer will present the Kal V'chomer from the Eid of Tumah, Le'edus Rishonim Mi'ata, to prove that the previous Eidus, the Eidus of seclusion, will have the same din. How? Umayim Eidus. Achroina. Because look, the Eidus Achroina of Tumah, which has such a permanent, far-reaching effect, a permanent Isser, Harei Meskayemes, Be'edechad, even one Eid can do that. Eidus Rishoina, of course, the previous Eidus of Stira, which doesn't necessarily make her Asa forever, just temporarily until she drinks. Eidus Rishoina, Be'edechad, doesn't it lend to assume that yes? Shouldn't we assume that even one Eid Echad is Neman by Stira? Talmud Leimar, no, Kimotza Be'ervas Dovar. We speak about a man who discovered some improper conduct, and he goes and divorces her. Mala, and we have a loshen eres dover. Vela halun oimer. Elsewhere, we have the pasuk describing how a litigation process in a bezin takes place with two witnesses. Al pishnayim edim yakum dover. We connect the word dover to here by sight, and we say mala halun al pishnayim. Just like over there, it's based on a witness, on a double witness, two edim afkan al pishnayim. The same thing with the Saita, the Kinui and the Stira need to have two Eidim. So Kinui and Stira must be done by two Eidim, but Tumah, one Eid is enough. Now what if we have a clash? Eid Omer Nitmes, one Eid gets up and says, she sinned. No drinking. Eid Omer Lai Nitmes, the other one gets up and contradicts him. What are you talking about? I was there, nothing happened. Or Ish Omeris Nitmes, same thing if it's women. She says, Nitmes? Isha Emer is Lainitmes. The other one says, no. So they cancel each other out. We're back to square one. And therefore, he says, Shoisa. She goes back and she drinks. What if it's one against two? Well, two prevail. Echad Emer Nitmes. One claims there was Tumah. Ushnaim Emer. And two respond to him, Lainitmes, there wasn't. And therefore, she deserves to drink. Hoisa Shoisa. She goes and drinks. And the same thing in the reverse. Shnayim Amir Nitmes, two claim she was Tamei, Ve'echad Amir Nitmes, and one disagrees. Lo Yisei Shoysa, we believe that the two Edom, we assume she was Tamei, and there's no drinking. Now, let's go back a second. An Edech was only Neman by Tuma, not by Kinui and Stira. And the Mishnah presented a Pasuk, actually a Gzera Shava. Matzu by Revas Dover. We learn it from the other Pasuk, Dover. Why do we need High Talmud Leimar, Ki Matzu by Revas Dover? Why do we need this Pasuk and this Gzera Shava? We have a more simple source. A Pasuk here in Saita. Ve'ed Ein Ba. An Eid, a factor with respect to Tuma. Then he's believed. Tamalemer ba. Ba means only by Tuma. Do we believe that the Eid Echad? Ba v'lei b'kinoi. Ba v'lei b'stira. Only by Tuma, not by Kinoi or by Stira. For those, we need proper Eidim. That's for the pasuk that the Mishnah should bring. Why does the Mishnah bring the other pasuk? Agnu Zer Shava. Why is that necessary? Hachina Mekamer, you're right. That's exactly what the Mishnah means to say. Why is an Eid Echad only trusted by Tuma and not by Kinoi and Stira? The word ba. Tamalemer ba. The Eidain Ba tells you, Ba only by Tuma. Valoi b'kinui, not with respect to Kinui. Ba only by Tuma is one Eid believed. Valoi b'stira, not by Stira. That's one point. And then the Mishnah points out another thing. V'tuma ba'alma. Valoi Kinui. Or Valoi Stira. Deloi mehemen. Eid Echad. Menalad. What about a cold Tuma, just out in the blue? No Kinui, no Stira. No reglaying Ladavra. There's no basis. Eid Echad gets up and says, this Isha sinned. The loy mehem and edechad. We know that an edechad is not believed there. Minol, how do we know that's true? Well, that's standard procedure. And that's why we have the gzera shava. For serious litigations, for serious testimony, we need to aid them. Nemar kan dover, we have the pasuk kimotzeh be'erbas dover, he discovers something improper. For nemar lahalan dover, we have the pasuk al b'shnayim edim yokum dover. We learn that two edim are required. Ma lahalan b'shnei edim, afkam b'shnei edim, just like over there it's two, over here it needs to be two. So bottom line is, according to Rabbi Yeshua, Kinui needs two Edim. Stira needs two Edim. What about Tuma? One Ed is believed. Why not by Stira? Why not by Kinui? Ba, only by Tuma, not by the others. What about out of the blue? An Ed Echad gets up and says, Anisha became Tuma. Is he believed? No. Dover teaches us, Edus needs two Edim. What if we have a collision, a clash between one Ed and the other? So we have conflicting accounts. One says she was Tummy, one says she wasn't. So they cancel each other out. Says the Gemara, Tama de Kamakashle. That's only because he's contradicting him. Oh, like a Makashle. But if there was no contradiction, certainly the Eid Echad is Mehemen. One Eid is to be trusted that she became Tummy. But not really, how do we know? It's a huge Chiddush. The Tana Rabbanan, this is the Brisa we had already learned back in the base. There isn't an Eid testifying. V'eid means a pair of Edim. V'shnayim akosav b'daber. There are no two Edim. Eid is a pair, a concept, Edus, testimony, which is typically a pair. So there are no two Edim. Rather, there's only one Eid, and still the pasuk says she's us. V'shnayim akosav b'daber. We're speaking about a double, a pair of Edim. Ato'im v'shnayim. You're suggesting that v'eid means two. Oyeinu elo be'echad. Perhaps the word Eid is one Eid. Talmud Leimer, no. We have another pasuk which tells us that the word Eid is referring to the institution. Referring to the institution of Eidus. A double, a pair. Well, Yalkum Eid Echad Bish. Right? The pasuk says, an Eid, a single Eid, cannot get up and testify against somebody. This is just, you know, standard process in Bezin. Not site related. One Eid can't get up and testify. Why Eid Echad? Well, Eid is singular. Why Eid Echad? One Eid, one Eid? If it only says Leokim Eid, singular, I already know it's one person. Don't I know it's one? Why does the pasuk add the word Echad? Oh, to tell you, to teach you. The definition of the word Eid, it's referring to the institution. A couple of people, a pair of Eidus. Zebanov, this provides a precedence. It defines the meaning. Whenever we have the Lashon Eid, Harekan Shnayim. It's a reference to two people. Ach Yifroit L'chakosav Echad. Until the Torah specifies that it's one. That's why it says Le'okim Eid. I would think Eid is two. Echad. No, it's one. Back to Seit. What does the Pasuk say? Ve'eid ein ba. Omer Achman, and the Pasuk is telling us Trei lesba. Eid means two. There are no two Eidim. El Echad, there's only one. Ve'ilon etfas Asura, because she did it willingly, she's Asur. Okay, so we have the source. Now comes the next question. So one ate on his own, believed. Says the Mishnah, we have conflicting accounts. One ate claims tamei, the other claims tar. They cancel each other out. How? How could aid number two come and cancel out aid number one, who's already been established, and his account has already been, you know, accepted by the Bezdin? Va'amar Ula tells us a great chiddush called Makim Shemina Torah Eid Echad. You know, all that we're speaking about was just one aid, but at times, such as by Soita, one example of Soita, an Eid Echad is believed. So whenever the Torah trusts one aid, we give him the authority like two. He establishes the facts. And now once the Eid Echad presented his account, it's an established fact. That's it. It's in the records. Whenever the Torah trusts one aid, like by the Soita, Harein Kan Shnai, we treat it like two aidim, like the most reliable testimony. And although another aid comes along and disagrees with him, it's worthless. It's been established as fact. Vein Dvarav Shel Echad, the words of a single aid which comes and challenges, is worthless. Ein Dvarav Shel Echad, we don't consider the words of one person, B'makom Shnayim, in the face of two aidim. So the first aid, it's treated like two. It's an established fact. It's in the records. So why, when the second aid comes along and contradicts, do we cancel the first aid? Elam, Amar Ula, says Ula, you're right. Tani, lo yaseh shoyse. Let's revise the wording of the Mishnah. A huge chiddush. Instead of them canceling each other out, no. The first aid stands. So again, we have an aid saying, she was tummy, no drinking. The other aide disagrees. We listen to the first aide. We ignore the second aide. V'chein amar Rav Yitzchak, he agrees as well. We switch the lashon of the Mishnah. V'Rav Chiya amar, comes Rav Chiya and he says, no, it depends. No. I'm going to reconcile the way we have the Mishnah. Hoysa shoysa, yes, she drinks. So Reuven said, she was tummy, she can't drink. Shimon says, she's tar, she could drink, she will drink. What do you mean? First aid. Establish the facts. How can we just cancel them? The Rabbi Chiya, well, according to Rabbi Chiya's approach, Kashya de Ula, Ula's whole principle is now in question. The first aid is an established authority. That's it. It's over. How can you just undo him? The answer is, it depends how it happened. Like Kashya. The answer is, Kambabas Achas, when do we say that they cancel each other out? When does Rabbi Chiya tell it to drink? Because aid number two cancels aid number one when it happened together. Both aidim came sort of simultaneously, Rashi says, within a short time of each other. Toich kidei dibur, within a few seconds. That's one package, so to speak. One testimony. He presented his facts. He presented his. Bezdin evaluates both together. We have a conflicting presentation. Boom, cancel them both out. Whereas Ula's idea that once the first aid established himself, the second one can't come and undo him, that's when he came later. So it's too late. The first one is already established, and we treat him with utmost respect. He's like two aidim in our eyes. Okay? So, once again, an eid echad is neman to testify about tumah by the soita. Ula tells us, once we see that he's believed, we treat him like two aidim, and nobody can come against him. Right? So, if we have another aid who comes and offers conflicting testimony, we disregard that. Now, of course, if two aidim come and negate that, they're stronger than him, but not because necessarily they're stronger than him, it's because when you have two against two, then they cancel each other out. But Ula is telling us that if we have one aid who's considered like two because he has that power of verification, the Torah gives him that ne'emanus. So although another single aid will come later and try to negate that, we disregard it because it's as though he's going one against two. Rabbi Chiya tells us, well, it depends. If both fellows came together at the same time, then it's like a simultaneous cancellation and we ignore them both. We're going to have a kasha on Rabbi Chiya from the Mishnah. Tanan, Mishnah continues. So now we spoke about one against one. What about one against two? The numbers prevail, right? Two against one, two win. Tanan. Eidomer nitmes. 1 8 says she's tummy. Ushnaim oimrim la nitmes. And two say, no, no tumma. She should drink. What happens? Oysa shaysa. She drinks. Let's make a diuk. Let's derive from here. Two against one. Yeah. But let's say it's one against one. Hachad v'chad. So one says tummy, one says tar. Loisa shaysa. She wouldn't drink. They don't cancel each other out. Because the first aid has established himself first. And that's in line with Ula's principle. We treat him with utmost respect. He's treated like two aidim, and the second aid no longer has a say in the matter. That's a kashan or b'chia. So you have to do b'chia. So even if you have two aidim right here together, they cancel each other out. Sorry. Even if you have two aidim together, b'vas achas, they don't cancel each other out. The first aid prevails. That's a kashan or b'chia. Almost b'chia. Okay, v'tamecha, according to your kash, emos seifa. Let's move on to the next case of the Mishnah. We have two against one, but the other way around. Shnayim oimrim nitmes. Two claim that she's tamei. Ve'achad oimrim lo nitmes, and another one says no. Who do we listen to? The two eidim, who say that she's tamei, therefore she cannot drink. Lo yisrael shoyis. Let's make another deal. Two against one, but if it's one against one, ha'chad v'chad, one says she's tamei, no drinking. The other one says she's tar, yes drinking. Lo yisrael shoyis, she'll drink. Because they cancel each other out. So this is going to be a riot to me. So basically you have conflicting diyukim in the Mishnah. Here we have one against one is this. Here we have one against one is the other way. Ella kula v'psula eda, says the Gemara. Ella, forget about the inferences and the diyukim. The point of the Mishnah is not to make the diyukim here. The point is to teach us the actual halacha. That's the point of the Mishnah. To teach us what happens when it's two against one. The Mishnah is not trying to allude to a case of one against one. That wouldn't work out. That would end up with conflicting diyukim. The Iker Chiddush of the Mishnah is two against one. Now you'll ask me, what kind of Chiddush is there that two against one win? Of course, the Chiddush is Ala Kula B'Psule Edus. We're not speaking about qualified witnesses. We're speaking about women, Avadim. They're not really considered proper witnesses. The P'Psule Edus. For Reb Nechemya, and this is in line with Reb Nechemya, who tells us as follows. The son of Reb Nechemya Omer, Kol Mokem Shemina Torah Eid Echad. Whenever we find that the Torah trusts even one aid, which is an exception to the rule, such as by Soita, so one aid is believed, an Eved is believed, an Isha is believed. We don't have to have true testimony. Just, you know, relate the facts and that's enough. So in those situations, we follow the majority. Numbers count. Haleich Achei Reiv Deis, we follow the Reiv Deis, the majority opinion. So if you have two against one, even if they're all women, you have two women who are disagreeing with the account of one man. So one man says one thing and two women disagree. We give the women the same value, the same power against that one man because it's two against one, just like it would be two men against one man. Like two men who would be confronting one man, where of course they would have the upper hand. Two eidim against one, their belief. Same thing with two women. Two women against one man, even though they're psulim, it doesn't matter. It's all about numbers. And that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. We're speaking about women, psuli edus, and the chiddush is even if there are two women testifying against one man. Right? He says nitmes, and they say no, or the other one, their belief. Okay, so it has nothing to do with the halacha we discussed before of one against one. We're not discussing one on one. Migadamrit is another version, a slightly different version of Ramachemya, which will tell us that, you know, after all, Ish, who's Kashal Edis, does have an advantage over the Noshim. True, we follow the numbers. It's all about the numbers. But there is a Kashrus factor as well. So if it's two women against one woman, of course, two win. If it's two men against one man, of course it's two win. But suppose one man came and says, nitmes. He established himself. That's it. That's fact. And then two women come, they don't have the power to undo that. Because relative to a man, even two women don't have the power to cancel him. Okay, so that's the Only difference here, in terms of the two lishonos, but the idea, the concept is still the same. It's all about numbers. We get the Amri, there's another version of Nechemiah. Suppose an aid kosher, a man came initially, established the fact as is. We accepted it. We put it in the record. Now, as many women that will come, relative to that man, they have no value. Or at least they're not stronger than him. They can't undo him. Afilu mei noshim, you'll have 100 women disagreeing. Nami keidecha dami, they treat like just one aid. And once the first aid came and established the facts, it's too late. Like we said before, another aid can't come and undo it. So even if you have 100 against him, if they're women, they can't undo him. Now back to the Mishnah, where it says that it's all about numbers. Well, speaking, he's going to say Isha Mi'ikara. Initially, a woman came and testified. Then two women came and disagreed. So now the numbers prevail. V'tirtza, and we just have to revise the presentation that we provided in the name of Rav Nechemiah, and we explained to Rav Nechemiah, we have to revise that because he did not suggest that two women can undo one man, so we have to change it a bit. We'll revise Rav Nechemiah like this. Rav Nechemiah, wherever we find that the Torah gave credibility to even one aid, such as by Soita, that's indicative of the fact that we're not really following the standard, rules of Eidus. It's all about probability. It's all about majority view. Haleich achar reiv deis. We follow the reiv opinions. And therefore, two against one, two will win. But not relative to a man. V'asur shtei nashim bi'isha achas. So two women versus one woman. Yeah. That would be considered a stronger factor and prevail. And that would be like Kishnei Anoshim B'Ishech, like two men disagreeing with one man. So as long as it's the same gender, right? Two women against one man, or two men against one man, two over one win. But if it's two women against one man, Avashtei Anoshim B'Ishech, that's like 50-50. Kipalgo, Palgadam, it's like 50-50, and they don't necessarily prevail. Okay. A side point. So let's just go back to the Mishnah. By Tumah, one aid is believed. What if it's one against one? Well, that was up for discussion. According to some opinions, it's always the first aid that gets his way. Because he establishes the fact, he's treated like two aidim, it's over. According to Reb Chiya, if it's bivas achas, so Reuben and Shimon both came to give their aids at once, and they're conflicting, they cancel each other out. The next part of the Mishnah spoke about uneven numbers, two against one. The Gemara tells us, we're speaking about psuli edus, and still they're believed, and it's all about numbers. The more, the better they carry the day. Now, why did the Mishnah tell us two halachas, which are pretty much the same, just, opposites? We have the first case, where one Isha says, she's tummy, no drinking. Two says, no, she's tar, yes, drinking. She will drink. Then we have the next case. Two claim, she's tummy, no drinking. The other one says, no, she's tar, she should drink. What happens? She does not drink. So it's pretty much a repetition. It's just one case and the opposite. So what's the point? Vitati psuleidus lomli, why does the Mishnah have to present two almost identical cases to teach us this halacha that psuli edus are going to carry the day? Perhaps I would say, when do we follow the majority view? When it's, psuli edus? When do we look at numbers? The chumra, only if it generates a chumra, such as in the first case where we get her to drink because of it. But to provide a leniency, such as in the second case where she's going to be exempted from drinking. Perhaps we can't follow Rav Deis by psuli edus. That's a chiddush that they can go ahead and undo the chiv of shtir, kamashpon, the chiddush is, yeah. That's the way it works, whether it's l'chumra or l'kula. Okay, so we just pretty much summarized the sugya already. Just to go back to the beginning again, we have discussion about Eoiv and about Avram Avinu. They were Eoiv Hashem Me'ava. We have the Schus of Ava is greater than Schus of Yira. We have the two Talmidim of Rava, who were experiencing their their tafkid in their dream. He was Oyev Hashem, he was a Yorei Hashem. We have the halacha that Rabbi Lezer presents. Although for kino you need Edom, but for stira you do not need Edom. According to Rabbi Shua, both kino and stira need Edom. But Tumah does not, because we have Ve'ed Ein Ba. Ve'ed means a pair of Edom. There are no pair of Edom, but one Ed is there, and he makes her Aser. However, for Kini Mistira, we need two Edom, because it says Ba V'Lei B'Kini, Ba V'Lei B'Stira. What about just an Ed Echad out of the blue coming to speak about an Isha's Tumah? It doesn't work. We need two Edom. And we discussed the next couple of cases in the Mishnah, how to deal with conflicting accounts, whether it's 1-on-1, 1-on-2, or 2-on-1. All the best to you. Atzlacha Rava and Surah Estavis.